Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We are continuing our series on tithing versus giving, and we're talking now about some of the consequences of what we believe about tithing, giving, and money in general. It's important to God because it's important to us. The concepts that are behind our beliefs can determine how much we get from our life here on this earth, what value we get. We've talked in other series about how different God relates to his people and all people based on times and seasons, and that we are in this time, this age, this eon, where we have available to us the fullness, the wholeness of our inheritance now, that by being reborn as spirit beings, in the family of God, as his sons, we have, in the spirit, already received our inheritance. But we have been left here on this earth, in this time zone, to learn how to live as sons, to rule and reign, using our inheritance, reigning over the kingdom now. This brings into question many of our beliefs regarding what heaven and hell are, about what happens after you die, and I would even suggest before we die, before we are born here, during our time here. Everything is brought into question. And let's remember this, that God does not want us to be little robots. We have questions from him. And when we stifle those questions, well, you just have to have faith. We are denying God in our lives. God's never afraid of questions. So don't, you know, and so many times questions are labeled as doubt. Why am I doubting God? You're not doubting God. You're questioning what you believe. And that's good. What is truth? What is from him will stand up to scrutiny. So never be afraid to question what you're being taught, what you've been taught, what you believe. What is from him will stand up to that scrutiny, to that questioning. So we've been talking about the consequences of what we believe. And we've been talking that we've got this idea, we've got hang-ups about money in the Christian church. There seems to be on either end of the spectrum, as the pendulum swings, there's this whole idea that just because we are a Christian, we should have the very best. We're entitled to wealth, to blessing, to the gifts. We are entitled for the heathen to give to us just because we are sons of God. We deserve, we are entitled to having our needs met just because we are sons of God. Then there's the other side, that somehow equates spiritual maturity with poverty, with spurning material possessions, that somehow poverty or lack of possessions or even living in financial need is somehow reflective of God's rejection of materialism. Now, there may be cases where someone holding these ideas is going through a phase where God is dealing with them about certain things. So we start out with the supposition that what someone else is going through, what someone else is doing or believing about money, is none of your business. What do you believe? What is God speaking to you about your money? And when we talk about money, we're really talking about what you value. What is the fruit of your labor? Now, we all know that the love of money is the root of all evil. And we all know that it's the love of money. It's not money itself. And we started last week talking about how David is cursed by God for numbering the people of Israel in 2 Samuel, verse 24, or chapter 24. David was king over all the people. God told him, he made him king. And all the people were part of his kingdom. And he had all these people for his army. But he wanted to gain greater control. And he numbered them. This is what angered God, was that David wanted to extend a greater authority over them than what God had given him. There was an attempt to gain security or control greater than what God had given him. And this is where we see that whatever it is, whether it's money or talent or a gift, when we use that to try to control others or the circumstances in our lives or even God, that's what separates us. That brings us into the realm of the love of. Let's use other examples as well. Say God has blessed you with a gift of healing, or miracles, or words of knowledge, or whatever, a specific revelation, and you have power and authority in that area. And say you're 100% perfect in that area. If there comes a time when you are using that to excuse behavior, well, God, if you let this area where I'm, say you're fallen into adultery, or you're irresponsible with your money, or you don't pay your taxes, or whatever, and if you ever begin to think that you can go beyond what God has given you, and God will wink because he needs your gift. If it ever gets to the point where you think that God is going to excuse you, you don't need to talk to God about another area where you're wounded, or you elevate that gift beyond other areas in your life. That's when you have gone into that area of the love of your gift is the root of all evil in your life. The root the love of your gift of healing or gifts, because other people need you. When that becomes a controlling factor in your life, you fall into that area of the love of. And that is the root of problems in your area, in your life. It's not the gift God has given you. It's not your abilities or the skills or your temperament or your personality. It's that you're using that in some way to control yourself, others, or God. So we start looking at our own view of money. And we've all heard, let the weak say, I am strong. God wants you strong. Only the strong can help the weak. But it is a strength that comes from dependence on God. Not strength in your own strength, but the strength that comes from the confidence of having worked it out yourself. When you know how you've gotten to where you've gotten, you can help others get there. If it's all just theory, you can't help anyone. But if you are weak and you know how to get strong, you can help others to get strong. But when you're using that, oh, God, I know how to get people out of that situation, you know, this whole power of positive thinking. Well, the value of that positive thinking is the process. Because the power of positive thinking is listening to your thoughts. Where is it that you're telling yourself a lie? Because where you are telling yourself a lie will reveal a wound where God can tell you the truth. It's not just in the positive thinking. It's not just in the opposite of the negative. It's in getting those wounds healed and God telling you the truth. It's not just repeating, oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or whatever, repeating until you believe it. That's not it. It's the process. Are you depending on God? Likewise, in other areas, we've got this idea that money tells who we are, whether we have it or not. And this so much depends on your temperament and the group, your history, and the group of people you're hanging around with. But only the strong can help the weak. And the strength comes from going through the process. The strength comes from the confidence of having made the mistakes and of having worked through them. We don't value what we don't work for. And we have this idea, not just with money, but with so many of the other opportunities God has given us here on this earth to learn how to rule and reign. For each one of you, for each one of us, every single gift listed in the scriptures is available to you now, right now. Odds are that if you have any desire for any of those, for anything, for a gift of healing, for miracles, for helps, for whatever, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, anything, any desire, time travel, being able to see into the spirit realm with your supernatural vision, with your natural eyes, anything, any desire you have, odds are it's coming from God. And God does not tease us. He wants us to learn by giving us the desire. God gives you the desires of your heart. It doesn't say that he satisfies the desires. He gives you the desires. So you take that desire and you go, God, is this something you want me to be working on? And he says yes. And then you start the work. You start the process. Lord, how do I learn how to use this gift of healing? And you recognize that that's your project right now. That's an area he wants you strong in. He wants you to learn to rule and reign first in your kingdom. And your kingdom is your mind, will, and emotions, and your body. Your kingdom is your spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is already done. The kingdom has been taken. You are already ruling and reigning in your spirit. But in your soul and in your body, you're working it out. But that's where it starts. And if we can't rule over our own kingdom, now, this is what he set for us to do. We have this idea that when we die and go to heaven, we'll sit on thrones and rule over angels and rule over the devils. And I don't know what rule over. You know, it all depends on what group you believe in, you're involved in. But find out, what is the desire that God has for you now? Now, right now, a lot of people are dealing with the financial needs. And then we talked many times about the three main stresses are financial, relational, and health. Those are three areas we all must learn to rule and reign over. That's what we're here for. Now let me just encourage you. If God wants us to learn how to rule and reign over those areas, it means it's possible. Okay, it's not something based on your faith or something that if you just had the right, if you had just not made a mistake when you were 16 years old and gotten pregnant and had a child out of wedlock, that ruined your whole life and you'll never be able to accomplish what God had for you in your life. Well, isn't that silly? Do you think that surprised God? Do you think that made you any less of a son of God? No, that's just part of the process. That's part of what you need to work through, not hide from others. That's part of your kingdom to learn to rule and reign over, whatever the circumstances are. It is going through the process where we learn the confidence from making those mistakes, where we become strong in any area. And only the strong can help the weak. And don't worry about what's fair. God is not fair. This world is not fair. Fair is for two-year-olds. Well, second graders at least. We're not talking about fair. We're talking about justice, relationship. It is just and right that you are the first partakers of the work you've done. Now, let's look at a little illustration that may really help us break things down as to why we have this struggle. God knows we have this struggle. Let's look at the story of the prodigal son. Both sons, they were the two sons, one that kept on working and the other that wanted his inheritance now. And he went and he spent it all. He squandered it while the other continued working. And he squanders it and he wakes up probably after an all-night binge wallowing with the pigs, and he realizes he doesn't have any money left. And of course, now he doesn't have any friends and he doesn't have anything. But he knew his father's heart. And he returned to his father and thinking, if I can just be a servant in my father's house, I know I'll be well taken care of. And that's better than living with the pigs. So he was willing to face the shame that he knew would come from squandering his inheritance. So he returns home, says, and he's just expecting to be a servant, the lowest in his father's house. And he knows he deserves that. But guess what? It's not the inheritance that makes us sons. It's being born into the family. So he returns home, and the father is so grateful to hear him. But does he make him a servant? No. He puts the ring on his finger, the ring of responsibility, and the fresh robe, the robe of authority, basically saying, you may think you're getting out of being my son because you've squandered your inheritance, but no such luck. Part of being a son is the responsibility and the authority of learning to rule and reign. And nothing, even ignoring and resisting the need for going through the work to fight through the adversaries and overcome the obstacles to learn to rule and reign, does not keep you from the responsibility and the authority. You're going to have to go through it. Might as well learn how to do it now. This is what we're here for. And you can think that, okay, by squandering or ignoring or failing to admit and embrace the tasks, the work God has for you right now, by putting it off on, I don't have enough faith, I have to get out of the situation I'm in, I've married the wrong person, it's too late, I've made too many mistakes, that God doesn't even hear that. That's not going to get you out of. You're here to learn to rule and reign. There's nothing that's going to keep you from the responsibility and the authority God has given you. Get over it and embrace the situation God has you in. It's certainly not a surprise to him. Instead, he says, here, the authority is yours. Here, the responsibility is yours. Get to work. Take your place and get to work. It's not about, oh, God has given us all the riches and blessings and inheritance, and now what we do is our blessing to him. No, it's your strength comes from depending on him. And let's look at the son who has worked so hard. And yet, his downfall, his problem was that he did not enjoy the relationship. Just as much as the son, the prodigal son, squandered the inheritance by losing it, by spending it all. The son who stayed squandered the inheritance by never partaking in it. By never embracing it fully as his. He was working for it and yet never embraced it, never took himself as that son, that any time he wanted could enjoy and embrace that which he had earned. As you rule, as you learn to rule and reign, it is your kingdom. This is where we have that. It's a hard struggle between learning that we are one in Christ. We are Son of God, and yet full, equal, co-inheritor, joint heir with God. We don't inherit less. It's yours. It's your kingdom. Part of learning to rule and reign is to enjoy it, learn how to enjoy it without being consumed by it, indulgent in it, obsessed with the enjoyment of it. And God knows exactly and precisely the process and the mistakes and the testing the boundaries of your freedom in any given moment. He knows how to train you and prepare you for tomorrow, for next week, for next year. And he's the one who determines the balance between what you are working for, to rule and reign, to overcome, to receive healing for your wounds, to overcome the hindrances, the fight, the struggle, versus the rest, the enjoyment, the peace, the joy, the contentment, the quietness. Until you experience it for yourself, it will be an either or. And God says no. For you, it's both. That you can have the struggle with peace, the work with relaxation. It's not an either or, but we only come to these conclusions of reality as we experience through dependence, making those mistakes and learning to work. So we want to see that what we are doing is bearing fruit. And he got it. That's one of the ways he encourages us. And for most of us here in the Western world, we know we're doing well because our finances are increasing. But before there was finances, money, financial rewards, there were other ways of knowing we're doing it right. When you plant a field, and if you don't reap a harvest, you're doing something wrong. That's what tells you you're doing something wrong, that you're not reaping a benefit from it. You're not doing better this year than you did last year. It's the same way in other aspects of our life, our health, our relationships. We should be getting healthier year by year, rather than allowing the myth of aging. There's nothing in your body. Remember, only your body, your physical body, is under the time zone. The rest of you is a spirit being. And we can't get too far off in that. But remember, God knows exactly what you need to straighten out in regards to the finances. Only the strong can help the weak. And God wants to encourage you to reap what you have sown for yourself. Be the first partakers of your harvest. If you're not going to sow, you're not going to harvest. So, as always, if you've got any questions, drop me a line. I'm always happy to hear from you, and we'll get back with you as soon as I can. And I do want to remind you, I don't argue. And always, if you've got a good argument to make, I'm happy to hear it. But if you disagree, I'm fine with that. I'm not out to convince everybody that I'm right and you're wrong. So if you're looking for an argument, you've come to the wrong place. But I'm always happy to hear a good argument, a good disagreement, a good area where I'm not being clear, where I need to be clearer. But if you're just going to say you disagree with me, you know, there's that I can live with that. I'm fine with that. So it's at Diane@WeCanPrepare.org, and I'm always happy to hear from you, even if we do disagree. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again next Saturday. Until then, have a great week. This has been Diane, Prepare Radio. Have a great day.